Welcome back to another session of the Thursday of Vinyan Musa Shir, and we are continuing the Shara Ava on Daf Nun Aleph, and we are continuing, and this is Shir number 4 for Shara Ava. Avas Aviv V'Imo, the love that a person should have for his parents, and as we will see soon, for all the relatives, Tiyal Derech Zeh, should be in the following manner. Sheyachshuv, a person should think to himself, Shegidluhu V'Tarchuvo, that his parents raised him, toiled for him, v'limdu tarchei Hashem yizvorach, and instructed him, taught him the ways of Hashem, v'yaru v'chinchuhu l'Torah mitzvos, and of course guided him through, or mechanech him, educated him in the ways of Torah mitzvos, u'vehem yekayim mitzvos habore yizvorach, and through his parents he is able to have the opportunity to be mechayim one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, mitzvahs asei, in other words, daraisa tekidachsev, as it says in the Torah, kaved es avicha v'esimecha, honor your father and your mother. Without the parents, obviously, we couldn't fulfill this mitzvah of kibud avim. Now, just a few things. The event, Clay Yokar says something interesting. Clay Yokar says that we noticed that on the Aseres HaDibros, the right side of the Aseres HaDibros are the halachos bein adam lamakom, the left side of bein adam lachaver, except with one exception is that kibud avim, kabed esavicha v'simecha, is on the last one on the right side. So why is that? So the Klei Yokar says that shows the obligation for one to honor his parents, and because since it's on the same side of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, every person is a result of three partners, mother, father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just as we have the obligation to honor Hashem, we have the obligation to honor our parents as well, because they are two of the three partners. The Bala Turim says that it's together, it's right after, it follows the Halach of Shabbos. Zoch HaShem HaShabbos L'Kacho. Right after that's Kabed Es Avicha V'Simecha. Why? That the Chiyuv, the obligation to honor parents, is like the Chiyuv to keep the Shabbos. Now, it sounds easy to say, but if you ask the average Jew, you know, do you keep Shabbos? Of course I keep Shabbos. Have you learned through the Halacha of Shabbos? Of course I can learn through the Halacha of Shabbos. Who would ever think of desecrating the Shabbos outright knowingly? Yet, the very same people, when it comes to kibud avim, don't pay as much attention. Yeah, courteous, nice, basically, you know. But go through the Halacha of kibud avim, you know, and the intricacies of what it means to honor parents. I mean, even, you know, put it this way, the Shulchan Aruch, just basically, I mean, it's an obligation for a child to stand up for a parent once, at least once a day when they walk into the room. Contradicting a parent, you know, it's chilly outside. When the parent says in the morning it's chilly outside, maybe you should take a sweater. It's not chilly and I'm not taking a sweater. you may have heard that before, right? That's outright contradiction. Even validating a parent is against the halacha. A parent says such and such, and the child says, yes, you're right. That is an Isra in the Torah. Why? Because it shows that the parent needs the assistance of the child, and what the parent alone says is not acceptable. You come along and say, yeah, he's right, or she's right. That's validating the parent. That is against, that's against halacha. So you see that within these halachas... Okay, technically speaking, a child should speak to a parent in third person. Vazok de tata, vazok de mama. You know, it should be in the third person, as opposed to you. You know, the maisa in Eretz, you know, you were speaking about, you know, honoring parents, Jewish or not Jewish. Try to take a guess, unless you have heard this statistic, how much it costs for an average person to raise a child, each child, from birth through high school. Not Jews. This is a statistic that was taken in the United States of America. How much it costs an American person to raise a child from birth until they graduate high school, 17, 18 years old? $500,000. $500,000. Now imagine, add to that a Yiddish person. Add to that schar limud, tuition, kosher food, Pesach, Sukkot, Yom Tov, Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, Tzitzis, Tfillin, you know, all of the expenses that are add on. No? Did you realize, gentlemen, we're multimillionaires here? you know, that it costs that much to raise. So just for that alone, if for nothing else, even if they, you don't feel they educated you in Torah, just the Akaras HaTov, just the recognition of what the parent did, spent $500,000 or more on raising me. For that itself, we owe a gratitude, a note of gratitude to the parent, and a note of gratitude, and the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. Now, I want to just tell a maisa. I read this maisa about Rav Shach. It seemed that there was a person, a man in Eretz Yisrael years ago, who was diagnosed with a certain disease that could not be treated in Eretz Yisrael. He had to be taken chutz la'aretz to America. And he had a question. His parents were elderly. Should he tell them or not? Make them nervous. Wouldn't be good for their health. So he wasn't sure what to do. They wouldn't necessarily know he's missing because he didn't live with them. He can go to America, have the treatment. They wouldn't know the difference. They live in a different neighborhood, different community. So he went to seek the counsel of Rav Shach. And Rav Shach said, you definitely should tell your parents. You don't have to tell them all the details. Just tell them it's a health issue and you have to go to America for the health issue. He says, and I'll tell you why. Because the prayers, the tefillos of a father and the tears of a mother have much power in heaven. So you'll need it for a refuah shleima. Nope. So you see to what degree it means, you know, what parents do for a child. So this is just, you know, a simple glance of this mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. But he is talking in terms of the love for the father and mother and father, because I have an opportunity through these parents to honor them. Let's continue. Ve'echav, ve'achyosav, brothers and sisters, ve'shakrovav, other relatives, ye'av al-derech zeh. He should love in the following manner. She yachshov, he should think to himself. Sheheim oskim bo, they are involved with him, lavio lamalos tovos, to do whatever they can to bring him to higher levels spiritually. Veheim esayin also, lavodas habori yisborach, and they assist him to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vu yasok bohem lelamdom lochicham, he is involved with them in order to teach them, to guide them. Velo yisol lehem ponim, part of the love has to be not to flatter them. Uvozei yeshchar, and in return for that, he receives a great reward. V'himida gadola, and it is a great trait, k'dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, v'cherpa lo nosa al karovo. He didn't carry the shame on or for his relatives. In other words, let's say a relative did something that they shouldn't have done. So you, as the relative, have to make a choice. Do I report it or not? You know that if it's reported, it'll end up eventually saving them. You don't cover up for them. Now, we are filled with a society that when it comes to certain friends and relatives, there is a lot of cover-up. Whether it's in a hospital, a nurse for another nurse, and certainly relatives, and certainly close mishpacha, you know, someone does something wrong, cover. He says part of this love, kosher love that we should have for our relatives, is if need be, they need to be reported, and we certainly shouldn't cover up for them. But I want to make another note here, and that is, there's a pasuk Yeshayahu Hanavi that says, "Mipsarcha lotusalim, don't hide from your flesh. Don't hide from your..." And the Mefarshim deal with this pasuk and what is meant by it. It means, according to the Mefarshim, that it's more often than not, and let's think to ourselves if we are guilty of this, or if we're innocent of this, Baruch Hashem, that it's sometimes that we show more respect for a complete stranger than to our very relative. You know, somebody would come to our doorstep as a guest. We welcome Shalom Aleichem, come in, we offer him a drink, give him a nice bed to sleep on. You know, a wife, a husband, a child, you know, hey, what's the matter? You can't help yourself? You know, it seems, or people in need. You know, collections are made. And the wonderful collections, you know, tzedakahs. And we give to the tzedakahs. And it's beautiful to be mekayem the mitzvah tzedakah. At the same time, we have to do a research if in our very families there are people who are needy. Why do we ignore them? Mipsarcha lotus alim, says the pasuk. So this is the manner in which a person should love his relatives. that he shouldn't cover up for them, and he should extend himself to them as he does, at least as much as he does for a complete stranger. You know, charity begins at home. There's a lot to that phrase based in Chazal. Let's continue. And there's much benefit that a person has in his relatives. The most obvious example of this is Lot. Avram Avinu went to war with the war of the four and five kings, and he saved Lot. And we know that Lot later on was saved in the merit of Avram. And listen to this. He says that a person should love another Jew, Ava Shalema, a complete love. By doing this, we are fulfilling another mitzvah in the Torah. We are hafta the reacha kamocha. Very well known pasuk in the Torah. Love your neighbor. It's simply translated, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, of course, it doesn't really mean that. You're not really supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if I love someone else like I love myself, that means I would do for them as I would do for myself. And that doesn't necessarily make sense. For example, if I invite someone to my house and I like the air conditioning set at 72 degrees, does that mean, I'm doing for you like I do for myself? Wait a second. Maybe you like it a couple of degrees lower, or a couple of degrees warmer, you know, higher. So, after Recha Kamocha doesn't mean, as it's translated in the English, you know, editions, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It means, put yourself in their shoes. What would you want them to do for you? That's what you would want. That's what you must do for them. In other words, if I'm visiting your house, and I would appreciate that you set it at 72 for me, even though you like it at 74. So when you come to my house, I have to sort of creep into your mind and try to investigate and find out what your likes and dislikes are. Then you makayim, you know, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Not do for you as I do for myself. Also, the love has to be rooted in the mitzvah of ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Because if it's ulterior motive, if it's rooted in self-love, then what's going to happen is ulterior motives are going to get in the way. In other words, if I'm showing you love, a fellow Jew love, because it makes me happy. And very often we have to think about this very seriously. Sometimes we do things for other people because we're doing it for ourselves. It makes me happy to do this for you. Now, of course, it's a wonderful thing to be happy to do a mitzvah. But the actual mitzvah has to be for the other person. Because if I'm doing it because I enjoy making you happy, what if I wake up one day on the wrong side of the bed and I'm not in the mood to do for you? Oh, so then the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha is bottled. I don't have the mitzvah anymore. The Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha is the mitzvah whether I enjoy doing it or I don't enjoy doing it. It's nicer to enjoy it. But I have to be doing it for your sake, so much so that even if I'm not in the mood, I would do it for you anyway. This is an extremely important factor in Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Let's continue on the bottom of the paragraph. Zeu klal gadol b'Torah, da'aloch saneh lechavroch lo saveh. What to you is uncomfortable, don't do to someone else. Gadol mizeh, and even greater than this, Archos Adikim says, is ki b'tzelem elokim asa es ha'adam. That man was created with the tzelem elokim, in the form of Hashem. And that is a reason why I should show and manifest and try to allow the love to another person to grow. Now, what this means exactly has to be understood. We've discussed this before. B'tzelem Elokim asa adam, people are referred to as a tzelem Elokim. On the other hand, we say every day in davening, ein lo demusa guf, ein lo guf. God doesn't have a form, doesn't have a shape, doesn't have a picture. So, one hand, you tell me God doesn't have a form, and then you're telling me that man was created in God's form. What does this mean? So the way to explain it really is the way it's brought down in the Ramban. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning of time, breathed into Adam HaRishon the Neshama. Incidentally, he does the same thing for all of us. As a child is being born, it's just a mechanical robot, basically. It's a biological human being, but he doesn't have the workings of spirituality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes into the person, the neshama, breathes it in through the nostrils. Now, what does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes it in? So here, the Sefer HaKana says based on the system of mandinofach, mitochonofach. When a person breathes, he breathes from within. He breathes from with inside. If I tap you with my hand, you're receiving something from my exterior. But if I breathe, then you're getting something from my interior. If a person was inflating a balloon, for example, and he has a cold, the germs that were in him are now in the balloon. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes the neshama into us, what really is happening is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is breathing particles of godliness into us. So a human being, Etzelem Elokim, doesn't mean in the form of Hashem. It means that within all of us, we have particles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He breathed it into us. If He breathed it into us, kevayachol, that means He came from within Him. Now you're talking about Etzelem Elokim. That's a chosh of a human being. So imagine this is a walking, talking human, if you can say the words, human godliness to some extent. That is a whole different level. Why should we should have the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha? Because I'm showing love to you, not just as a simple human being. As the phrase in Hebrew goes, Ani Rak Ben Adam. In English they say, you know, I'm just human. Big deal, I'm just human. No, you're not just human. You have godliness in you. Says Archa Sadikim, and it's interesting that he puts this as his bottom line to Vahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, that for no other reason but to tell him Elokim, that the fact that a fellow human being is not just a human being, but he has godliness in him, for that alone, it's worth it showing a tremendous degree of love. Let's turn the page. Next side. V'yesh Toelas. Now there are benefits of loving people. Okay, here are the benefits. V'yesh Toelas Gadol Olamish Shanoit Bechiba V'Reyos and Bnei Adam. There is tremendous, great benefit for those who conduct themselves with love and closeness with others. One benefit is in this world, and the second benefit is in the world to come. What is the benefit in this world? One who conducts himself with love towards others, Yazru Hakol, will receive the assistance of everyone. If he falls, and falls doesn't necessarily mean physically, it can be financially, emotionally. Yirbu Ozro V'Somcha. He'll have many people who support him, who assist him. V'im Yamod Adam Negdo L'Rivimo. If somebody comes up against him, Rabim Yamdu Etzlo Le'Eliyatzo L'Hatzilo. Others will come to his aid, to his assistance, to counsel him, to save him. Im Yudamru Olav Rav, if people are spreading rumors about him, Rabim Yashtiko Amadabram Olav Rav Machlim Mosam. Others will stand up and squelch the false rumors. V'im Tavo Olav Tzora, if Nebuch, he is stricken with some calamity. Hakol Mitzari and Olav and Osun LaYad. Everybody will feel for him, feel his pain, and give him a hand. V'im Yovel Adei Dochak V'Oni. If God forbid he is stricken with poverty, and he's down in the dumps, Rabim Yerachamu B'Nesinas Matanoseim. Others will assist him with gifts. And Baruch Hashem, we have that in our communities. L'maisa, no matter what you say, there's no chesed like we have in extending oneself to other to people. You know, I just heard a maisa just happened a few weeks ago. It seems because of the weather patterns up in certain states, they were in snowstorms. You know, it seems that there were people stuck in airports, and many people were stuck in airports on Friday afternoon. You know, Erev Shabbos, and I heard of one case where it happened that there were many people stuck, and Yiddish people stuck in an airport. They found a local motel that they have to go to for Shabbos, but it was in the middle of nowhere. And what do they have? You have to eat Shabbos, special foods, you know, or at least something. You have to have meals on Shabbos. So it ended up that the report came from the innkeeper, the hotel manager there, that he was just was inspired, was in a state of shock when he sees somehow, some way, at 65 these Jewish people, and each one of them had a little bread. Another guy had some drinks. Another guy had some challah. Another guy had mitamol. They're all sitting together and they're singing smiris Friday night. And somehow, some way, they managed to get together, sharing with one another. He says, where are you part? Are you? So he asked the question. He saw these people. Said, are you of a party? Are you? Where are you coming from? Are you getting away? Is it an anniversary or something? He said, no, we don't know each other. But that was the first time we're meeting. What, 65 people from different parts of the country who don't know each other happen to be stuck at the same airport, end up at the same hotel. In the time all you have. Nope. Like this. I heard another incident of... it happened to one of the rabbis in the South Florida community, where he also stuck Erev Shabbos at an airport. And he calls his wife, tells her, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do, or I'm stuck in the airport, I got an hour before Shabbos here, and I'll make the best of it, but that's it. I'm calling you to wish you a good Shabbos. So what happened? His wife calls someone from a nearby town, they send someone else to go pick him up at the airport, and he's going to be spending Shabbos by their house. So he's getting his luggage together, and as if he's walking out of the airport. So the other passengers who are also stuck there say, where are you going? The rest of us are stuck. Where are you going? He says, someone's picking me up. He says, who's picking you up? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where's he taking you? I don't know. Where are you going to spend the night? I don't know. I don't know. Someone you don't know is picking you up. He's taking you. You don't know where. You're spending in a house. He says, "What's going on here?" No, this is the way it is. So you have who knows, hundreds of people stuck in the airport, and this Yidl, you know, he's got a place for Shabbos. So Baruch Hashem, you know, there's a tremendous degree of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha in our communities, and certainly when you're stuck. I know from personal cases where they have organizations, chaverim, you know, by Hasidic people, you know, you can get, who knows, I mean, it shouldn't happen, but you can get stuck on a Palisades Parkway, you can get stuck, you know, it happened to my own son, he was in a car accident 2 years ago, and he, mamish, before he made one phone call, the chaverim come, they take him, they wind and dimed him in the fire, where, in the upstate, in Monroe, wherever it was, in Squaretown. They gave him a Shabbos, they gave him clothing, they gave him food, they gave him a bed, they wined and dined him, no? You don't know the guy from a hole in the wall. So there's a tremendous amount of, you know, benefits that a person could reap from, you know, showing love to others when this love, this midah of love is homegrown in our communities. Let's continue. Toilas olam haba. What about the benefits of the world to come? Machma shehu nev. Because he is beloved to all, then people will lend him their ears. In other words, they'll listen to him. He will be able to guide people on the proper path. And because of his love for them, he will be in peace with everyone. That's number one. A second thing he says here, being in love with others allows him a sense of peace in mind, tranquility, that he's able to dedicate more of his time and energies to Masim Tovim, to learn Torah and to Masim Tovim. People will protect him. People will do things for him because of the love that he has for them. And because of that, that gives him the opportunity to dedicate more time to Hashem, because the things that he normally would have had to do for himself, mitamol, people are doing it for him. A guy wants to sit and learn, but at sukkahs, he's got to put up a sukkah and he gets stuck. Oh, hey, this guy, everybody loves him because he loves everybody else. So they put the sukkah, he can go sit and learn. No, this is just an example of it. And because of his love, he finds favor in the eyes of all. And his good deeds are accepted by all, are received, and the ultimate goal will be, the ultimate result will be, that people will have a desire to do like him. You know, you see, it all boils down, if you don't mind me quoting Abraham Lincoln, who said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If we show love and care and concern for others, then it's the greatest way of having people, you know, reciprocate and doing whatever you want. You want to get someone to do something for you, just show love. Just show love. It works with spouses. It works with children. I know of a set of parents who were having a very difficult time with one of their children. I think the child at that time was 9 years old, 10 years old, and they were momish going through. The kid was seemed to be, you know, out of control, and they went to an Adam Gadol, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of our time, and they asked him for an Eitzah, and he said, just show him more love. Show him more love. Love, love, love. How many times you kiss him during the day? You don't kiss him every day? Gotta kiss him every day. And keep kissing him. More and more love. That's all. He's acting like this and he's doing this. Fine. Don't worry about it. Ignore it. Just, you know, give him more love. You know? When they did it, they did it, they followed. I know the case personally. And within a very short amount of time, mamish, the kid turned around completely. It's unbelievable. What's the magic here? What's the magic? Now, it doesn't mean that if there are psychological issues, and sometimes you have to deal with it more severely or whatever, fine. There are exceptions to the rule. But basically, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If they see, people see that we care for them, we love them, then we got it made in the shade. Okay. We should keep in mind, as we're learning, gentlemen, that we're learning the schus of the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael who are faced with an enemy who is willing to give their lives to kill Jews. We should have them in mind. And imagine, we have to recognize this is real. Put it this way, this is the way I envision it myself. This is what motivates me to keep it in mind as much as I can. Imagine Yemos HaMashiach. It's going to be Mashiach Zeiten, and an Israeli soldier is going to come over to you and is going to say, I can't thank you enough. I owe you so much gratitude and thanks. And you're looking at the guy and I know, who is this guy? And he said, you saved my life. I saved your life. I never met you before. What do you mean I saved your life? And he says, it was January 1st. It was January 1st, 2009. And I was in the Gaza Strip there. And I was surrounded by the Hamas soldiers. And you happened to be doing a mitzvah then, and you had me in mind. You had an Israeli soldier in mind. And because of that, a nes happened, a chveis, they fled. And my life I owe to you. Now I know you're thinking to yourself, it's far-fetched, what are the chances? Let me ask you, gentlemen, if it's a 1% chance that a mitzvah that we do could save an Israeli soldier, that's not kedai. If it's a 1% chance, and it's not for, see, we view it, we see in our eyes sometimes it's far-fetched because it's far distance. 6,000 miles away. But we know the Chazal tell us that every Jew is connected. Just like every letter in the Sefer Torah is connected. And without one of them is possible. Every Jew is connected. What a Jew does in Miami here affects a Jew in Japan, and vice versa, and all over the world. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, there is no distance, doesn't play a role. So if I would see someone outside, at gunpoint, being attacked, imagine outside the window here, and I couldn't do anything physically, so I open up a tillum and I start saying tillum for that person. And I save his life. That I can relate to, because it's right outside the window. No, if it's 6,000 miles away, it makes a difference. Doesn't make a difference. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, no distance doesn't play a role. So we should try the best we can, any mitzvahs we are doing these days, aside from our own kavanas that we have for our families and health and whatever, you know, we should keep in mind Eretz Yisrael, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, and particularly the soldiers, who are confronted with ongoing. Okay, so how do we get to love people? You ever wonder to yourself that you can't love a guy? How do you get to love a guy? In what manner, says the Orech HaTzaddikim, can a person attain this level of loving others? Askilcha v'yarcha, I will enlighten you, says the Orech HaTzaddikim. Haderachu, the manner is as follows: Shiyazu benafsho b'mono kol adam kfi yecholto. Try to the best of our ability to help another Jew. Nafsho b'mono. That means financially or any other way. Ha'eza benafsho hu. How do we help a person benefesh? She yishoris l'chol adam, assisting them. Hein ani, hein ashir. Whether he's a poor person or wealthy person. V'yitrach ba'avuram, and toil for them. And by the way, I want to remind everybody, Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskins, that the halacha of ma'isa, a person has to give a ma'isa. You make $100, you have to give $10 away, of course, everybody is familiar with the halacha. A person is required at the same time, says Rav Moshe, to give 10% of his time to others. If you're up for 10 hours a day, 1 hour a day has to be given to others. Helping people with packages, going to a hospital, going to chveisvas. It has to be 10% of our time as well. And that's what he means. Yitrach b'avurim. Toil for the other person. Do something for the other person. That's benefesh. Heizeh b'momonahu. How does a person assist with money monetarily? Sheyalveh lahashiyah beis. Itztarcha olamos. To extend a loan even to a wealthy person when he's in need. V'chein la'ani yalveh beis dacho. Or to a pauper, of course, when he's in need. V'chein yifkedeyah b'matonos kevichocho. Even if it means giving gifts to the best of your ability. And every once in a while, even to a wealthy person, send a gift. Sometimes we don't develop a love for the wealthy because we feel that they're on a different plateau than we are. It's a different clique. It's a different, you know, it's a different community. Because the guy's a millionaire and I don't have a penny in the bank, so I don't relate to the guy. If I don't relate to him, how do I love him? So he says, give to him. Because we know loving, giving leads to loving. So give to a wealthy person. Find a wealthy person and send them flowers for Shabbos. Imagine. And of course, overlook that which is yours. If you have a business or deal with someone, every step of the way the business should be done with nemanos, with trustworthiness. Don't make an issue. Next side of the page, when it comes to something small, don't make an issue. Overlook it, big deal. You know, I think we once told a ma'isa here, I forget who it was, I think it was Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Yerushalayim, the Rav of Yerushalayim years ago, who rented a bungalow for a few weeks during the summertime. And they couldn't afford to pay for the bungalow themselves, so they rented it with another couple. And half of the bungalow was going to be for them, and half of the bungalow for them. And they needed a certain amount of money to take out of the bank to pay for the innkeeper, whatever it was. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld sat with his wife and made a cheshbon how much it would cost. He goes to the bank, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, and he comes back, and she's looking and she sees that there's more money that's necessary. What do you mean? What's going on here? We don't need this much. Why'd you take more money? So he says, this amount of money is for the rental of the bungalow that we're taking. And this is Shalom Bayis Geld. Shalom Bayis Geld. So his wife asked him, what's this Shalom Bayis Geld? He said, we're going to be sharing a bungalow with another couple. We have one refrigerator, for example. In the refrigerator there's milk. So we drink the milk and they're drinking the milk. Let's say the milk uses up and we have to go buy another container. So what's going to be? I may have a thought in my mind, why should I buy the milk? I mean, I've been noticing they drink more milk than I drink. I should buy the next container. Why should I buy the next container? And so on and so forth. So this is the extra money I'm taking it to keep peace. Shalom bayis. Big deal. It's a couple of pennies, a couple of bucks. Put it in shalom bayis geld. So same thing with us. There are times that we have, you know, a business venture with others, or even if it's something simple, if it's, you know, Dava Muat, he says, big deal, overlook, it's not going to break the bank anyway. Let's continue. Always try to see how someone else can benefit from me, as opposed to how I can benefit from someone else. Because normally people's psyche is, what's in it for me? That's the normal. And the Aruch HaTzadikim is saying, just fakir, what's in it for you? V'yu devara benachasim kol b'nei adam. And of course, a person, as he relates to others, should do it in a gentle, he should speak, his words should be spoken with gentleness. And of course, anybody who wants an insight into what the connection is, you read the Igeres HaRamban, the letter that the famous letter that Ramban wrote to his son. And he says you should read this at least once a week. And in this reading, this letter will keep you from sin. It will keep you with the God on your side. and he begins right in the beginning. He speaks about the fact that Chol Dvarecha Yieh Benachas, all your words should be spoken softly, nicely, softly, because that'll save you from Gaiva. And there's a direct correlation, there's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that shows that there is a direct connection between, I'm quoting something else now. Let's erase that from the record. This is not the Gemara in Yuma. That the volume of a person, going back to the volume of a person's voice, is directly connected to his mood. I don't know if you recall in your own personal instances when you get into a conversation, if you get upset, as you raise your voice, of course it changes the mood. If you keep it soft spoken, even if the other guy's yelling, he's yelling, let him yell. You speak softly, eventually he's going to lower his voice also. Let's continue. Vim bishu adam al yevayshohu. God forbid somebody embarrasses you, don't embarrass him back. Vim ito, if he misled you, al yateu, don't mislead them. Yisbol al tzavaro ol holam, bear the burdens of others. V'hu lo yachbin aleihem, and don't become a burden to someone else. Very important. Don't become a burden to someone else. You know, sometimes people, you know, ask you, yes, I want something, and he tells you, mamash agansa mayusa. You know what they say? There's a joke. What's a nudnik? You know what a nudnik is? A nudnik is when you meet a guy in the street and you ask him how he's doing, he tells you. And he doesn't stop telling you. Don't say stand nudnik. Don't become a burden to other people. Of course, don't argue. Don't get into arguments, disputes with others. Greet others nicely with joy and with a nice demeanor. It's a very important line here. A pleasant countenance strengthens love. And you know, smiling at a person, especially in the morning, makes a tremendous difference in a person's day. That we told a story here once with Simcha Zisel, who was practicing faces, making faces in a mirror. One of his students walked in on him, and he didn't know what was going on. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and making different faces. He turned around. The student says to him, Rebbe, what was that all about? He says, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Having makabalos kol adam b'sefer panim yafos. You have to greet every person with a nice face. So I'm practicing how to smile. So that's the part of the story that everybody knows. But I heard from my Rebbe, you heard from his Rebbe, you heard from the source, from Simcha Zisel. It goes back directly. That the student then asked him, Rebbe, I don't understand, how long does it take to practice a smile? You look in the mirror, you smile, takes you half a second, that's it, you know how to smile. You're standing here for 10 minutes making different smiles. So he says, read the Mishnah carefully. Having makabalas kol adam b'sefer panim yafos. Greet every person with a nice face. You don't greet everyone the same way. I know the different people I meet during the day, he said, Rav Simcha Zisel, and I can't smile the same way to one guy as a smile to different personalities, different expectations. You meet a guy who won the lotto the night before. Well, how do you greet him? Ah, shalom aleichem, good news, wonderful. You meet a guy who lost $1 million on the stock market the day before. What are you going to say? Ah, shalom aleichem, nice to see you, how's everything? Heard the great news. What? It's a different smile. So that's what it means here, besides the fact that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said that a person's face is in the public domain. Person's face is a public domain. And if you're supposed to smile at a person and you don't, it's like a bar b'shus harabim. You take a shovel and dig a hole in the middle of 10th Avenue. Somebody falls and breaks a leg. Who's responsible? The guy who dug the hole. If you're walking down the street and I'm confronted by you and I don't smile and you are emotionally damaged by the fact that I didn't smile at you, I'm chayiv. I'm guilty for the damages caused to you. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says. By the way, the sever ponim yafos. Havi Makal is called them besever. What's the word besever? Svara. Svara means thoughts. Even if in your thoughts you have something on your mind that's bothering you, don't take it out on the other guy. You still have to give. Some people have the attitude, listen, I'm not in the mood. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, so I don't have to smile this morning. What's it have to do with the other guy? Why should she ruin his day? Let's finish up the paragraph. V'lo yidaber. I'm sorry. Business should be conducted, conversations should be conducted in a manner which is good for the other person. Console a person when he's going through a rough time. Next said, if a person told you a secret, don't reveal that secret. You're not permitted to repeat the secret if someone entrusted you. Af im yachisehu, even if the one who told you the secret later on gets you angry. Ah, I'm angry at him. He told me a secret. I'm going to spill the beans. You got to be very careful with this. And this is what I was referring to before. The Gemara in Yuma says that explicit permission, explicit reshus, must be given to say over a secret someone entrusted you in. You can't say something like, I'm sure he won't mind, he probably won't mind. No, if somebody told you a secret, you need explicit. The Pele Yoetz writes, and he quotes a Zohar, and he talks about the severity of spilling the beans if somebody entrusted you with a secret. Oy gavalt, what happens? The Pele Yoetz explains. I just want to quote my older brother, Zayn Gesund, Rav Alter, who told me an interesting thing when we were younger. He says, you know, sometimes we know a secret, and so other people try to get us to tell them. And they say, come on, I'll be your best friend, you know, these days, come on, we're buddies. So he says, it's a great way to be careful not to fold under the pressure. You say to the person who's pressuring you, okay, you want to know the secret? Can you keep a secret? So what's the guy going to say? Of course. So can I. Now you just ripped the carpet from underneath him. What are you going to say now? Okay, let's finish the paragraph. Don't speak bad about others. Don't listen if they're speaking bad about other people. Always try to be melamed zchus, to find the benefit of the doubt when there's a question. And by the way, this doesn't mean when I can think of the benefit of the doubt. This means even if I can think of the benefit of the doubt. You know, when you see the guy walking into McDonald's, so that's a no-brainer. What do you say to yourself? Yeah, he had to use the facilities, an emergency, fine. So I can think of it, so I'm a lamed zchus. What if you see the guy go over to the counter in McDonald's, and he orders a cheeseburger, and he sits down at the table, and he takes a bite out of the cheeseburger? And you see it, and you know the person. Go ahead. Find a schuss then. Can't find a schuss. What's a schuss? And you found, you know, he's a healthy guy. It's not a matter of health. And you know nobody threatened him beforehand. I can't think of a schuss. That's what it means, be malamed schuss. Not when I can think about it, of course, that's a no-brainer. That's obvious. It's when I can't think of the schuss. That's when I have to do it. And more than this, what's expected. In other words, if I go beyond even what's expected, that will make us beloved to all. Honor other people in action and with words. Don't be show haughtiness over others. Humble ourselves to others. All of our actions should be for the sake of heaven. Be very careful not to keep company of others who are not good company, so their actions don't rub off on us. And of course, keep away from Leitzim. Leitzim is a scoffer. Letz is a scoffer. The Ramchal de Mishil Shisham writes, I believe it's in Perek Gimel, I'm not positive about that. He writes, what's a Leitz? That's a person who makes a mockery out of the behavior that arouses people to introspect and to do tshuva and to examine their actions. A guy who scoffs at that, a guy who mocks that, that's considered a Leitz. And sometimes, you know, whether it's in a company we keep, we go somewhere on a shul, a place, Leitz on him, he says, you want to become beloved to others, you want to have love for others, never get involved with people who are sitting around and telling Leitz on us. Okay, gentlemen, and Mr. Shem, we'll get together next week.
Go ahead.